470-3520 or call us at +27 12 001 7679. Let your voice be heard. Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media. From broadcast to baptism.
Joining us now is Pastor Joseph Farah, who's going to be giving us some perspective on yet another covenant. You remember the covenant that was initiated by God after the deluge, after the flood? Well, that rainbow is yet another covenant. We are taught by Scripture that it's a covenant. It's not just some beautiful arch in the sky that happens every time after it rains. No. Apparently, that was a covenant. And to take us through that is Pastor Joseph Farah. Pastor, good afternoon. Welcome. Thank you very much for agreeing to talk to us.
Well, good afternoon, and how are you today?
Well, thank you, Pastor. Appreciate your time. Let's get down to it. Tell us about this rainbow and how it came about to be a covenant.
Okay, so let me just take you a little bit behind or backwards.
Okay.
So that we can have a better appreciation.
All right.
So we are in the mind of God. And God has a thought. And that thought is that he wants to create this beautiful place where he would put in human beings so that they could enjoy the creativity and the intelligence of his mind. So he puts everything in perspective, and then since these beings, they don't know him as the owner. And so he begins to, depending on how they are understanding him, he begins to reveal himself. They're having these conversations, they're having this relationship, they're having these interesting revelations. And as time begins to move on, we see some kind of lack of faith in God, the mistrust, the seed of discontent has been planted, and man rebels against God. But God, since he is patient and all these, he begins to, you know, he begins to quote us again. He begins to give us promises. He begins to give us ideas. All right, these human beings, they have messed up, and I think I need to make a new beginning from the chaos that the first set of people have made. So he thinks, okay, let me clear up and start again so that I can make a new promise with my people. And so this is how Noah comes on the scene. When Noah comes on the scene, God has something again in his mind. He wants a beautiful garden. He wants to start afresh. So everything is going to be done away with. And so this new promise comes in, and Noah is chosen to be the carrier, to be a subject, to be a part. Because, you know, a covenant is not so much of an agreement, but it is so much of a promise. Okay, you do this, then you go. So one of the characteristics of covenants is that, number one, it could be conditional or it could be unconditional. So this covenant we are dealing with Noah is an example of a promise. I will use more the word promise than I would use more of a covenant, because I know we are more familiar with the word promise than we are friendly with the word covenant. So I think that's the backdrop of where we are now.
So when you're saying it's a promise, and I'm okay with that, promise of what?
Okay, so like I indicated, we have God who has this idea. Remember, it is his initiative. He wants to be our friend. He wants to be, you know, having conversations. He wants to reveal himself to mankind. But mankind does not really understand the concept of God. Like, who is this God and what really does he want from us? And so after the mess up from our first parents, God brings another promise. Now, this new promise, he knows people are scared. The family of Noah is scared because the whole, you know, all their friends, all their relatives, all their neighbors have been wiped out. And so now he gives them a new promise to say, guys, we are going to have a new beginning. We are going to have a fresh start. And I want to put up this rainbow. This rainbow is a sign. It's a sign that every living creature will not evermore die again with water. So I will not clean the world with water as I have done to your colleagues who lost their lives earlier. So this is a covenant or a promise that is unconditional. It has nothing to do to say, okay, Noah and your family, if you do this, this is what I'm going to do. Mm. So it doesn't have those tenets. It is just a promise, and it is purely based on God. And it is God to hold on to the faithfulness of his word alone. Noah does not need to do anything. It is God doing it all.
I'm not quite sure I understand that promise and whether it was kept or not. that makes me wonder if we understand that correctly, Mfundis. For example,
sure.
Here in South Africa, we had floods that killed people.
Uh-huh.
Big and small. Every year we have a flood that is going to overflood the blank banks, and a child or a family or people are going to die. Last year, we had a flood that took away homes, plural, here in South Africa. Mm. We have seen floods in Mozambique. We have seen floods in Zimbabwe. We have seen floods. Mm. The tsunami is one of the floods that happened on land. An earthquake that happens in the ocean that affects the water, causes the water to go and flood the land. I don't know of a continent that has not experienced a catastrophic flood, people dying by water, and yet there is a rainbow that's supposed to remind us that people will no longer die by water. I'm missing something there, Pastor. Help me understand.
Excuse me. All right. So those are very good pointings, but yet still the promise still stand, and the covenant is still valid because, like I mentioned, Noah or his descendants, up to us, we have nothing to do on our part. It is God holding the promise, and he must remain faithful. Now, when you look at the setup of the Noah floods and our floods, they are really, really not the same, because the earlier one was a worldwide, it covered the whole world. And understanding that when the whole world was affected, every human being was obliterated. Nobody survived except the family of Noah. What we have noticed in South Africa, Mozambique, and these other parts of the world, it has to do with our carelessness in terms of how we have handled our environment. So you are dealing more on issues that deal with climate change and man's interaction to the environment where he is living. And so this one is more of, we cannot push this responsibility on God, like God took responsibility in the beginning, because it was his intent. He was intentional. He wanted to clear and begin again, right? So this is what is on the table. But what we have seen around, you know how we are living, the issues of industrialization and how the environment has been taken, where we are looking at is now more water, melting from the two points of the world or the earth where they are supposed to be kept in check. But the rate at which the water is melting is causing these disasters that we have seen in the recent past.
Yeah, I hear what you're saying, Mfundisi, but I want to remind you of these biggest floods that I'm referring to that have absolutely nothing to do with global warming. In 1931, we didn't have issues of industrialization as we have them today, right? And yet in Yangtze Hau River, there was a big flood there. Yeah? I'm talking about floods that have very little to do with what we're alleging is the cause of global warming. Around September 28, 1887, there was a rising of water which caused a flood, the Yellow River flood. 1887, there was no issue of too much gas in the air that is causing global warming in 1887. That still happened, and we don't know what caused that one. If we're saying it must be at the doorstep of mankind in global warming, then what do we call that? The Johnston flood, it had absolutely nothing to do in 1889. What I'm trying to establish there, Pastor, is surely we could come up with all these reasons why we have floods. But I like the one point that you're making, which perhaps should help me understand. Take us to the verse where this promise is made, because you may have a point there, and perhaps you may be schooling me now when you say it is a matter of the worldwide flood as opposed to localized floods. That's a brilliant point there. So where did God make this promise that I will not kill people by water again? Let's just read the wording there.
Okay, so we are in Genesis chapter 9.
Okay.
You can read the full story, like from from verse 8 to 17. But let me just pick out where our area of interest is. Verse 8, the Bible is saying, "Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him," verse 9, "Behold, I establish my covenant with you and your offsprings after you, and with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the livestock, and every beast of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark." You know, so this is God establishing his word, telling to say, listen, I know you are scared.
Yeah.
I know you are terrified, because what you have seen, you have never seen. Okay, let me pick it up again. Verse 11, mm-hmm. "I establish my covenant with you that never again shall all flesh," not some flesh.
Okay.
So we can underline that. "Never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of the flood. And never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth."
Okay.
And God said, "This is the sign that I make this covenant I am making with you, that every living that is with you for all the generations to come, I have set a bow in the cloud."
Yeah.
"And it's a sign which should give you hope."
Okay.
"Between me," so this covenant is actually bigger than Noah.
Yeah.
"It is between me and the earth."
Yeah.
And like I indicated in my preamble, that with God holding to his promise, it has nothing to do with what we are supposed to do. So regardless of global warming or not, God will still hold on to his end of the bargain.
Yeah.
That not all flesh will be cut off.
Okay.
So of course we are going to experience some portions, like you have indicated, in 1800s and up to this very time.
Mm-hmm.
But we should also be mindful that we have pointers. You know, the scriptures, not only we have pointers to say those natural calamities are going to come.
Okay.
God does not refute them.
Yeah.
In fact, these are words that proceed out of the mouth of Jesus.
Okay.
He says, you will see them. You know, there will be famines.
Yeah.
There will be quakes. And there will be all these in diverse places. So you have all these things. But remember, this is just the beginning of sorrow. Because man has drifted from this promise that God has given.
Yeah.
And so things are supposed to be made new again.
Yeah.
So all these efforts, you know, been trying to put them together, the Son of Man is coming. So all these signs, all these floods you've referred to are things that bring us closer to God, are experiences that humble us, are experiences that remind us that this is not our home.
Yeah.
We are going home.
Okay. Okay. I'm okay with that. I'm okay with that. And therefore, it takes us now to your counter argument of global warming. So exactly. It doesn't really matter how much we pollute this earth. The suggestion by scientists that we are facing a second deluge is a lie. If we are to believe God, then we must disbelieve those who are saying we will all be underwater one day. So that documentary by Al Gore that says the inconvenient truth, it's a blatant lie if we're to read this, because God did say that thing is never going to happen. There's never going to come a time where the whole earth is underwater, because according to God's covenant, it's not going to happen. So scientists are lying to us. Is that what you're saying, Pastor?
You know, human beings, we are always trying to make ourselves safe in our own skin by providing something, you know, that is able scientists, they are good guys. I love the efforts they put in the research and so on and so forth. But you know what? Human minds can never comprehend the mind of God and what God has said.
Yeah.
God cannot lie. And because God cannot lie, this gives us a consolation. Human beings, we are always trying to, you know, it's like when we have nothing to do, we create some problems for ourselves. By the way, problems are good.
Yeah.
For scientists, because they create employment. Who is paying those researchers? Recently, we had this man-made COVID, which went global. It was an artificial problem. But look at how many people were employed. And to this very day, people are enjoying.
Yeah.
The process that came out of that pandemic. But people were used as collateral damage, unfortunately. So this is what science, to some extent, when it is used negatively, brings to the table. But, you know, I like the writings of Ellen White from the book Education, where she writes about science and the Bible, where she says the science, rightly used, it actually brings us closer to God and humbles us. You know, it's like everything that science fails to answer, God has those answers because he is the scientist, after all. You know, he is the grand scientist. He is the owner of science. Because what the scientists have showed us is what God has revealed, what God has enabled them to see. What he has not showed them, they say it's a strange phenomenon.
Yeah, I need you to be as blunt as possible, Mfundis. Are you therefore saying the scientists are lying to us? We are going to hold on to the covenant of the rainbow as a sign that what the scientists are blabbering about is just blathering blatherskites, really. It's never going to happen. I need you to tell me that you have that confidence to say, because of the rainbow, I know there will never be a global flood ever again.
You know, because of what the scriptures have said,
yeah,
these are the words of God.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I am convinced, I am persuaded.
Yeah.
That we will not see another global. We will see portions of floods because the scriptures have indicated that they will come.
Yeah.
But says, I establish my covenant. Out of his own volition, out of his own will, God is saying, this is what I'm doing.
Yeah.
And you know what? You know, the beauty with God is, you know, it was not in the ambit of Noah to say, okay, God, and now that we are out of the boat, what's next?
Yeah.
No.
Yeah.
It was God's commitment.
Yeah.
And this is not a political statement. It is a statement of intent. God is saying, I establish this covenant with myself. And then I cannot lie. I am God.
Yeah.
Because he was not able to swear with anyone above him because he is the supreme. Besides God, there's nothing.
Yeah.
So he says, all right, this is my promise to you and your future generations. that there will not be anything like this again.
Yeah.
And this, so if the scientists are suggesting that there's something that is coming, well, we respect them, we respect their views, but it's not true, it's not correct. They you know, like I mentioned, they are paid to make such statements and create, you know, that terror in the minds of those who are not rooted in scripture. But somebody came to tell me that, I would actually love to listen to more of that thing so that at least they can be able to push my hours of the day so that at least I can be kept entertained. For me, that would be entertainment.
Okay. I hear you. Mfundisi, thank you very much for coming through to talk to us. Your insights are invaluable. We really appreciate you coming through to us and give us this understanding. Pastor Joseph Farah, thank you very much for your time.
No, thank you so much.
It's your life. Live it. Live on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.